You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. I'm your host, Haley Shanley, with Matt Skubik. And we're going to be talking to one of our sportsman drivers from the Super Buggy division today. But first, a quick reminder to head on over to amsoil.com. When you spend $50 or more, enter promo code FREESHIPSNOWX at checkout. Our friends at Amsoil are giving you free shipping when you spend $50 or more. So take advantage of that. Now let's welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil, Michael Meister. Michael, how's it going today, buddy?
Oh, it's going really good. Just enjoying the nice weather we're having here in Wisconsin and looking forward to getting back at the racetracks this summer, hopefully.
For sure. And it sounds like esports have been keeping you busy. How's that been going?
Yeah, I got into it around the beginning of April. And it's really fun. There's some races during the week that I try to hit, but with work and everything else, the last 2 weeks, I haven't been able to do it a whole lot. But it's really fun. You get a little You get to drive a little bit, experience some of the West Coast tracks at this time on the iRacing site, and it's fun to race and kind of knock doors around with some of the drivers with in the Midwest and the West Coast. So it's kind of cool. Rather than driving hours and hours to run with people, you can kind of just go in the basement and rip laps with others.
Now, within iRacing, it's not the super buggy you're used to wheeling. It's the trucks, right?
The iRacing site, they just have Pro 4s, Pro 2s, and then there's a Pro 2 Lite, which I think is more equivalent to a Pro Lite truck. And I'm not sure if they would ever get into the buggies, but it would be cool, and it's something we do talk about. But the Pro 4 is mainly what they run and what a lot of the series do mainly.
That's really cool. Now, you yourself, do you have any IRL experience with a Pro Lite, Pro 2, or Pro 4?
No, the only experience other than the Super Buggy I have is with a Pro Stock side-by-side. Mm-hmm. And then a lesser horsepower buggy called a 1600 light buggy. And that's one of the lower horsepower classes in the Sportsman series that we have. And I got to hop in to fill in for a driver last year in Bark River at the races. And that's where you have to just hit your lines perfectly. You have to have your shift points good. And it's just a momentum-based class. So if you push out of line or anything just a little bit, you're going to scrub so much speed and get passed by so many people. But I think for last year, the first race in Bark River in that class, I finished, I believe, 7th out of like 40 cars. And one thing that's really cool about that sportsman class is there's 40, 50 cars, especially at Crandon, bring out the big numbers. And there's just everybody, especially going into turn one at Crandon, everybody's just going for it. And it's a super cool class and a great starter class for people wanting to get into off-road racing.
Now, Michael, you have an interesting story on where your off-road racing career began. Take us back there. Where did it begin for you?
Yeah, so I got into off-road racing kind of in a really weird way. I started out racing remote control cars, and those are very high tech. It's not the ones you buy at Walmart or anything. It's real high performance ones. And I started that more in around high school time. And then I got into doing bigger races and stuff, traveling the country a little bit. And I racked up some cool accomplishments. I did more of a stock class national title in Omaha, Nebraska, and I've been out to California doing that. But then at Crandon, they had RC races, or the remote control races, at the small little track in their land right there. And I first started out doing that. Actually, I got into the RC cars by the Traxxas trailer was at the races years ago, and I got a slash four-wheel drive, and I think a lot of people have ones like that, and I got into the racing that way. But then knowing people just by doing that, you get to know the people around the track. And then people said that there was a couple super buggies for sale and by a driver. And we kind of got interested in it, and we kind of hopped right into that. I got a really cool mentor, Mark Steinhardt. He was a championship there, and we asked if he would kind of mentor me, and he would drive the second car that we purchased and kind of start with that in the super buggy class. And we kind of just hit the ground running. We got the right people around us. And, you know, anybody you talk to, especially in the sportsman class, everybody's so willing to help out. It's awesome. It's like a really probably hundreds of people. Everybody's just wanting to help out. Everybody wants everybody to get on the track. And that's really cool. But, yeah, as far as the sportsman class, it's a huge group of people. Everybody's so nice. Everybody wants... everybody wants good accomplishments.
What is it like to race amongst a group of such diehard enthusiasts and to be part of one of the buggy classes?
So there's multiple classes in the sportsman division. There's three buggy classes. There's the 1600 light buggy, 1600 buggy, and then the super buggy that I'm affiliated with. And then there's a number of truck classes, and then the kids cart, and then, like, the classics and older ones. And those are really cool watching as well. But everybody gets together. Everybody has a day job. It's all fun and games. But it gets very serious at times as well. Good racing all together. A lot of respect that people have for one another. And it's a really fun time.
Well, awesome. Let's talk a little bit more about your career. Obviously, you said you started off racing RC cars, and then you jumped into the buggy class. Well, obviously, you must have been very successful right off the bat as you took the Moore Rookie of the Year award in 2016. Can you take us back to that year, and what do you think you did so well that led them to give you that award?
Yeah. Right away, we kind of hopped into things. Right when we got the buggies, we were able to get some laps at Crandon, getting the track rented out. And then the Moore Sportsman Division, they actually do a track rental at the beginning of each season for everybody to kind of run some laps and just get some seat time in their vehicles rather than spending a lot of money to rent the track out on their own. But yeah, we got that going. We kind of just had the right people around us, thankfully. And the vehicles themselves were really good to begin with some minor changes. And then as we kind of kept going, we learned many other things. But yeah, I believe at the start of 2016, our first race was in Chicago. And that was really, that was a heck of an experience. It was funny. I've never raced anything other than the RC cars like before. So the roost at the beginning of the race, it's crazy. Like, I first had tear offs on my helmet, and right away at the beginning of the race when we first started, I just get roosted, and I think I ended up just getting all packed into the tear-offs, and then I ended up pulling all of them off at the same time, and I think I ended up on the side of the track just sitting there trying to flip through my tear-offs and figure things out. And it was so funny how that started out. And then being that we got test laps in Crandon, and that was for the next series, or the next points races was Crandon, and I believe I won that. It would have been my third race out, and I think I just pulled the whole shot and kind of kept a distance from the rest of the group. And, you know, that kind of just started the ball rolling. I've had, thankfully, really good success. I for racing, I get so competitive, and if I don't put forth all my effort, it's not it's really hard to be able to do it, in my mind at least. But yeah, with Crandon, I think I got a first, and then the second day I got a second. And then I just kind of had some bad luck, I think, going into the following races. I had a parts failure and probably some contact with other people for, like, say, the fall weekend in Crandon. So, yeah, that was really cool. At the banquet at the end of the year, I was able to get Rookie of the Year with everybody voting, and that was really cool. I think it showed the distance I came within my first year. And then this, and the next three following years, including last, I was able to get the points championship for the Super Buggy class, and I just put forth all of my effort. It's constant, like working as a logger in the day and then coming home and going into the shop and working real late each night and cleaning the car and prepping the buggy and everything. It takes a lot of time, but it's really cool, and it is it's very good to get those championships and get that accomplishment.
For sure. You've come a long ways in a very short amount of time, and congratulations on the points championship again here. You've talked about the people that have helped you get here and your background in racing and how it all began with the RC cars. But before that, did you come from a racing family, or was this all new to you guys when you decided to get into RC racing?
Yeah, everything was brand new to us. My dad and I, we kind of just hopped into this thing and got in with the right people, and the right people came along and helped us. And I think that's really the help in my success, is getting the right people. I can't say it was all on me at all. A lot of people helped out, like Mark Steinhardt, like I said, he's one of the main ones. I had a really awesome crew chief at the beginning, with Steve Downing. He is all over. He's West Coast, Midwest. He's an amazing guy too. And just having friends as well. My buddy Brad, he has helped me from day one. The last couple of years, he's been really an all-in-one. He's been my crew chief. He's been my spotter. Just constant back and forth between the two of us. And we kind of just make the team work, me and him, and kind of do it on our own.
And you had mentioned earlier before we started the podcast that you work with your dad for your day job. Tell us a little bit about that and his involvement on the racing side.
Yeah, my dad and I, we co-own a logging business here in central Wisconsin. And it's really nice working with him each day. We each operate a machine personally and have our truckers and everything off on the side too. But that's really cool, doing this each day. But as far as the racing now, it's kind of really only put on me now. The first 2 years or so, he was really involved, and I think he kind of just let me do my own thing. And I think it makes the success for me even better when I know I'm doing it all on my own. But yeah, I wouldn't have been able to get into it without his help, and financial help, especially at the beginning. But yeah, it's been a cool ride so far.
You're, of course, a multi-time points champion. Where do you want to go from here? What's next for you in terms of goals?
Yeah, with the last three championships, I'm always thinking of something. I dabbled in I rented a Pro Stock UTV for Fall Crandon last year, and that was an option of maybe getting into one of those possibly, and it still is. It's the financial aspect of everything. I think everybody's more or less dream is to maybe be able to drive a pro truck someday or something. And, that's always in the back of my mind. If something would happen financially, where you have a little success or something, where you could hop into one of those. And I think the Pro Two or something, especially with their new rules, they're making it a little more cost effective, which is really cool. And kind of, I think it's really bringing in more people into the sport as well. But I guess, you know, in the Super Buggy class, it's one of the fastest classes out there. I think we're really equivalent to a pro truck running around the track, aside from maybe a Pro 4. But the Super Buggy class, we're just, you know, flat-footed everywhere. It seems like they're a four-cylinder engine, a four-cylinder Ecotec engine, and we're just flat-footed everywhere. They're made to be bounced off the rev limiter, it seems like. And, you know, it's a really cool experience driving it, full suspension and everything. It's a plush car, and it was a cool thing to hop right into. But always maybe a UTV, or, you know, even down the road, a pro truck would be really cool even too.
Speaking of being flat-footed while you're racing, I think this is a great question to ask any racer. When you leave the racetrack, you know, when your adrenaline is high and you're going all out to win the race you're competing in, is it hard to get back into your personal vehicle and drive the speed limit and follow all the rules of daily driving?
Yeah, I could say so. You know, hopping back into the truck and pulling the rig back home. Yeah, you do want to go a little faster, it seems like, and especially if you had such an awesome weekend. Like you said, the adrenaline is still pumping. But yeah, definitely, you got to watch yourself, and there's always probably cops sitting around after people are leaving as well. But yeah, it's always, you got to watch yourself, that's for sure.
Now, when you are racing, does your mind ever wander to, say, weird or strange places when you're on the track and you kind of just snap back into it and realize, wow, I'm racing. Why am I thinking about that?
I don't think so, really. You know, as Crandon, it's a little different because you're sitting on the line for so long waiting for that green flag to drop. And that's where your mind starts to really wander around and you get a little anxious and worried. And I think the main thing is you just got to be calm and kind of collect yourself. But, you know, once that green flag drops and you're around all the other vehicles, I think you're just, for me anyway, you're just super focused on doing well and hitting your marks correctly and just trying to focus on, you know, getting that checkered flag at the end of the race.
And I know you said you're not 100% sure on what your plans are going to be for racing-wise in 2020. Can you give us a little insight on what you think your plans are going to be?
Yeah, you know, even amidst this, virus and everything now, it really has nothing to do with that. It's, like I said before, it takes so much time to be able to race. And if I can't race at the top level, I really might have to, you know, pull myself back and just maybe hold off or something. But my plan is to do a race or two. But I don't think I'm going to be able to fight for the points championship this year. Just with things going on for our business and everything, I really have to focus on that. And I know people probably listening a little bit, they're like, okay, Michael said this the last probably 2 years, and yeah, it's true. But this year, this year's a little different for sure. Honestly, my buggy hasn't been touched all winter, but I definitely want to get it back going 100% again. It needs a lot of TLC. It needs a lot of work done. But I'm looking forward to that. You know, with the weather getting nice here in Wisconsin again, we're getting some 70 degree days, and doing stuff at the house and, you know, landscaping. We're just going at that right now. And I think the focus is going to be a little different this year and maybe a little less on the racing. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to be at the racetrack. I'm looking forward to hopefully Crandon coming here in the next, I think, 3-4 weeks.
30 days.
Crazy. Yeah. I'm looking forward to being around everybody again. I know there's people that were asking for some help, and I'm always going to be around that for sure. It's once you're in it, I don't think you can get out of it, really.
Well, give us a little bit of a teaser. Which races can we tentatively expect to see you at behind the wheel?
Yeah, I guess my plan at this point is maybe the fall race for Crandon and maybe one before that. I guess I'm more focused on getting other things done at this point and then, say, later in the season, being able to do something. But, yeah, being in central Wisconsin is really cool because, really, the tracks are within 3-4 hours maximum of me, which is really cool. There's not a really far one at all. Like ERX in Minneapolis, that's around 4 hours. Park River in Michigan, that's just under 3, and then Crandon's 1.5 hours. Dirt City's, I believe, 1.5 hours or so, too. And, you know, having Dirt City open up, and that was a really big sportsman drivers. Like, they built the thing, really, a lot of those groups there over. And that's really cool. It gives everybody a different place to run, more of a family atmosphere, I would say, too, just because of the sportsmen being so involved in it. And I believe the town is super involved in it, too. It's just a small town. And just like Crandon, you know, last year when we ran, they did the drove the vehicles down the main road and kind of did the, like, where he had the whole town out. And kind of just like Fall Crandon, where everybody gets cars up and close and talk to everybody. And it's really nice that way.
Yeah, that's something pretty cool going on in our sport, you know, that a lot of other sports we don't get to see. Like, bring the cars, bring your whole team down to Main Street and have a parade. You know, that's something truly special and something fans, I'm sure, will cherish forever.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It seems like in some of the bigger sports, you don't really get to have any interaction with anybody. And, you know, even like the pro truck guys, like, you can just go right up to them in the pits and ask them questions or talk to them, get an autograph, whatever. And, you know, more or less, if they're not super busy, they're going to give you that, time of day. Everybody, mainly, 90% or 95% of people are just super happy to talk to you and willing to give you that interaction, and I think that's really special with the off-road community.
Well said. Well, that's all we have time for today. Michael Meister, thank you so much for joining us. It was great catching up with you here. And I guess in regards to you saying you're not going to run a full schedule like your peers, we'll believe it when we see it.
Right, for sure. Yeah, you know, I'll just be happy to be at the racetrack regardless if I'm racing or not.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.